This is Scott Becker with the Becker Business Podcast. We're going to talk today, visit with regular guest Robin Mitzen. Robin's a brilliant business and family counselor to a lot of people. She's going to talk to us today about an interesting subject. What has surprised Robin over the last few years, whether it's in business, in mental health, in anything on her agenda, as well as thoughts about the U.S. mental health system, what can be done to improve it. Robin, take a moment to introduce yourself, and then we'll tee up with the first question.
Great. Thank you so much for having me on again. I really appreciate it. I am a family counselor on the North Shore in Chicago areas, and I've been helping people, and their families for many years, with many issues going on in life, especially these days.
And talk about what has, in all the counseling you've done, and you counsel with families, issues, but you also counsel with business people on their thinking and keeping them grounded and centered. Talk a little bit about what surprised you in the last few years.
That's kind of a loaded question. Surprising by my standards in my office that I see is very different than what surprises me out there in the world. So I'll start with just what I see. And I'm very, very surprised lately, especially this year, by parents and the way that they're handling their children's anxiety and in a way, producing their children's anxiety. Some parents really are looking the other way, and that's very surprising to me. I adore parents that are on it, and they understand, and they listen to their children, and they get the help they need. And it always surprises me, but more so now than ever, that they will turn the other way. And it saddens me, actually.
And why do you think that is? Do you think parents are just so overwhelmed themselves in this pandemic year that they're having a hard time focusing on what's going on with their kids? Or are they, obviously some are very attentive, some are not. But what's your sense of what drives that? Are they just removed because they're so stressed themselves?
Yes, I think the latter. I think that parents are, yes, of course they're having a hard time. I mean, of course everyone is, and that's not to blame. However, if you're a parent, you bring children into this world, you should be on, that should be your focus. That should be your priorities. And I'm surprised by the lack of priority and time management for the other people in their existence. And so, yes, do I find that there is a lot of narcissism going on? Yes, I see that a lot. And unfortunately, the kids are suffering because of it. I know children who literally beg to have their parents find them a therapist, someone to talk to, anyone to talk to that is not a relation and or a teacher, and their parents instead will, go and send them on vacation or buy them a pair of sneakers and then just say, no, we this is fine. We'll just talk to me, and that's the narcissism that I see, is that parents want to handle it and they want to be the, what they think is like the superhero, but that's not what this is. And so I see a lot of children suffering, and I'm not talking about just children. I'm talking about adolescents, kids in college, and actually some kids out of college, in their 20s. So it's just a little depressing, as mental health goes. I'm eager to see what will happen when we all can hopefully be out there and have less anxiety in this world.
And what do you see? I mean, we're already in March or so. Kids are really generally still not back to a regular school schedule or regular anything schedule. They've got a whole, summer coming up where there'll be a whole mix of structure, not structure. I mean, it really damaging and challenging time, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it really is. I mean, we're all very hopeful. Listen, half glass full, right? But I really do see a lot of these kids suffering. And yeah, if there's structure, they all work better. Everyone works better when there's a schedule and structure. And some camps and some jobs really have been successful in these summer outings. But again, that doesn't take away the anxiety of being kind of hunkered down at home and having their parents not particularly listen to them. And so, you know, I really don't know how it's going to go, but I'm always hopeful.
Thank you. So that's one sense of things that have surprised you. What else has surprised you over the last couple of years? I mean, obviously the pandemic surprised everybody. Surprised by the level of political tension that ended up in the country. What else has surprised you that's impacted sort of mental health and so forth?
As far as mental health, you know, again, I am also, you know, surprised at the level of ignorance, I think, that, and that's just me judging, but I, you know, as far as politics go, yes, I see a level of ignorance and a level of, especially by the law enforcement, I guess I should say. And that's very, upsetting, but, you know, like if I take a look at the mental health piece, the surprise is also on the elderly. And I feel like, again, that's part of like the narcissistic behavior. I mean, I would think at this point that we are, have become a little more humanistic in our empathy and our help and our gratitude and blessings because we've lost so many people in this world all in 1 year. But that's what's so surprising is that, again, other than the teens and the young adults, you know, then I see the elderly being kind of pushed aside. And people have just stopped listening to them. And I think that that's what this is all about is listen to people. We're all human here. And so listening can help depression, can help steer someone in a different direction, can help provide tools to people who may be really going down a slippery slope. So the surprise is that I'm not seeing a lot of help for these people.
Do you see that? I mean, you've got a really, really challenging year for the elderly, a particularly challenging year because they're the sort of most secluded, the most isolated. For the youth, an extremely challenging year because they've not yet really established their lives and they've got the situation where they've lost just a ton of structure in the normal socialization that would come. And then you got sort of in the middle level, the parents that are parents of these children, but they're also the children of these elderly people sort of stuck in the middle and trying to basically help their children, help their elderly, and at the same time, just trying to keep their own acts together and stay centered and healthy too. And so I hear you on surprise, but it's a big charge for these people that are caring for people on both sides of them, younger and older, isn't it?
Absolutely. It is a lot of pressure. It's a lot of tension. And sometimes when it's so overwhelming, people get paralyzed and they do nothing. And they think or hope that it's going to get better eventually. But you can't pray and hope that it's going to get better without action. You just can't. So a little bit of action, which would just be as simple as asking questions, listening, taking a little bit of action to help the answers that come out of these people would be enormous. And, you know, you don't have to fix everything, but you have to just listen enough to do the simple things that will really, really help.
And talk about the elderly and either isolation, or even if not isolated, you could have two parents together that have their own challenges with each other, and especially in this situation where they've been so locked up together for so long.
Of course. And then you have but, you know, it is better to be with at least another person. Most elderly, unfortunately, do not have a partner or spouse with them any longer. And so it does become isolating. Even if you're in a retirement community, there's been many times that you can't even go out of your apartment or condominium. And then you are again, just lonely. And so, but yes, the people that are together, that's a challenge also because they, you know, tend to bicker a little bit and maybe again, tend to not listen fully about what their partner is saying to them, you know, and then sometimes listening to what they're not saying, you know, and just continuously asking questions so they know that you really care. That is really a big deal.
And so, thank you. And so, two big things that I've found surprising is obviously the challenges of the mental health of the younger, the challenges of the mental health of the older, and then sometimes the parents of those or the children of the elderly not really taking the effort to try and engage and help and try and work with their children or the parents. Talk about for a second, what can be done to help mental health in families with children, with adults, whatever it is. What are a couple of things that people can do to try and be impactful?
Well, I think people are, again, eager to talk. And so asking questions about just history, asking questions about family, asking questions about what bothers them, what's good in their day, what's bad in their day, what, you know, positivity, but asking questions, especially the elderly, they really like to talk about the past. And so talking about their childhood with them really releases endorphins and serotonin in their brain, which actually makes them feel good for that day. Asking, you know, as far as the young people, I believe that the best help you can give is get them a therapist that they can talk to, even if it's for 2 or 3 visits, would provide them tools to forge on. You know, I see parents buying their kids, you know, $400 pair of sneakers, but they won't send them to like a session of therapy so they can vent it out because, again, they think that they can handle it. But I'll tell you something, kids, people, individuals in general, they do not talk to their family members or their partners like they talk to someone that they do not know. And so
you said something like the parents think they can handle it. And I'm sure there's a category of parents like that, but isn't there just another category of parents that is just either overwhelmed or can't deal with it or doesn't want to deal with it? And so,
correct.
You know, doesn't really think they can deal with it, just doesn't know what to do and doesn't have the energy to
deal
with it.
Right. Exactly. I have a lot of people in my office say to me, oh, my friend or my neighbor. And I try to listen, but don't. Just hand them a card or hand them a phone number and say, talk to this person, get a recommendation, because that's what will help. And I think the ego, especially with parents and kids, are like, I can handle my own kid. I know my kid. My kid talks to me. Of course I know my kid. But guess what? Unfortunately, they're not talking. And then, you know, we're all stuck and then bad things happen. So the best thing you can do is give them a number of someone, a professional that can actually sit down and have a conversation. At least 1 hour, it would really help. And it would really open up to people being heard. And you know what? I think that it would be appreciated.
Even in marriages or business partnerships, there's this concept that everybody should talk everything out with each other. Sometimes it's just helpful to talk to a third party, isn't it? It's like you could talk to each other and want to kill each other. And sometimes it's better off just to talk to a third party, vent it out and talk through it, isn't it? And it's the best thing to say to your child or your parent is, or your partner or your parent is, I hear you, I listen, I love you. Let me have you talk to this person. And so it's just a safer environment as well.
It's a safe environment. They ask questions and hear answers that, you know, a parent wouldn't. They're just too close. And so to be consistent and to get the proper help you need and to open up your own brain waves to see what you can hear and how you can handle things is a completely different way. And guess what? You know, the thing is about people is that there's like a little bit of lack of hearing. when it comes to kids and parents and spouses and partners, that if a therapist were to say the exact same thing, say that you've been saying to your child, they hear it 100 times better than they hear it from a parent. So it's like an aha moment for them, even though they've been hearing the same thing. It's, again, worth that hour to have a different vision.
No, I think that's fantastic, Robin Mitzen. I want to thank you for joining us today on the Becker's Business Podcast. I think your openness to discuss these issues has been incredibly helpful, and I know it's helpful for people. It's eye-opening. It helps wake people up. It's really helpful. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Scott Becker. I appreciate it. Have a great day.